Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys. Welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. I'm Andy.
Alex.
Mark.
Christian.
Yes, we have a new bloke here, everybody. His name is Christian. And just a little bit about you. You're a City fan.
That I am.
Explain, just for the viewers, like, when did you get into City? Like,
that's a great question. And actually, your intro music is a great way to make that
Oasis.
Introduction. Because when you fire up Oasis, this guy gets going. Oasis was the gateway into Manchester City back in the early to mid-90s, reading about this band in Manchester. And I'm an Anglophile to begin with and was aware of Premier League, but you're watching, you know, rebroadcasts.
Were you at the Supersonic debut?
Do I wish I was at any debut. Oh, yeah, I was at the Super.
Okay. That's probably
so, right. So, yeah, I'm probably talking to one or two people
so we're
out
all,
there.
Are you an Oasis fan, Alex?
Somewhat, yeah. I like a couple of their albums, but...
Awesome. Well, there you go. There's like four Oasis fans in here.
Yeah, and there should be more Oasis fans all throughout the world. And it's funny, when you bring up that Supersonic movie, this guy overdid it a little bit too much before the show, and at the Violet Crown, it's easy to do it even more. So I might have made a little bit of a fool of myself, so
did
I do apologize.
Did you stand up and make an announcement?
I think I probably did.
Yeah, I think I was standing right
I think
behind.
I was talking to some. My wife said, you know, you should be looking to make friends here, not make enemies. People hate you. And, well, you know, Oasis, Manchester City, they're deep in my heart and a big part of
And obviously,
of
Noel, both the brothers are fans.
It was interesting to see Noel at the match at Watford yesterday. It must be nice to lead that rock and roll lifestyle where you can just
was Elton
pick
there?
And choose. And Elton,
Elton was there. They
he
put
was.
Him on TV many times.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Blokes
on
the Bench soccer and music show.
Yeah. Yeah, Elton was talking to Pep before the game, and then during the game they kept on showing him.
Mm. And, how long have you been a fan of City?
The first interaction that I had with it was, like I said, back in the early to mid-90s, reading about them in a Rolling Stone issue when I used to read every music magazine possible. I was a big NME fan. And
NME, yeah.
Q magazine, and you know there were a lot of articles about Oasis, and we'd buy the singles imported over from the UK when you'd pay $25 for a CD at a used record store, used CD store back in the day, and reading about them in, and I don't remember them being mentioned, talking about Manchester City. You'd see them in the football shirt, and you're not really sure what's going on. You're aware of Manchester because obviously the biggest club in the world, Manchester United. You know that name. Every sports fan worth their salt knows that name. But wasn't really sure. And then reading this Rolling Stone magazine, they talked about Manchester City and how important that was to who they were. And that really kicked it off. Now, good luck finding that on television because it didn't exist. I had friends who ran an Irish pub in Fort Lauderdale where I lived at the time. And we would stay after closing time and drink until 7:30 in the morning and watch Premier League
Wild
matches.
Times.
Yeah, well, they all love Liverpool. Liverpool seemed to be a favorite of the Irish people.
So tell me this. Were you lucky enough to go to the old stadium before they moved into the Etihad?
Yeah, it's funny. I tweeted out recently, and I'll plug my Twitter at some point, but
go ahead.
The boring Twitter account of a Manchester City supporter here in Virginia. But anyway, I had said that I had wished I had been to Main Road once in my life. One of the very few regrets I can say in my life is that I didn't get to go to Main Road, and not even for a City match, because obviously, you know, there's the relegation history of the club.
Right.
But glory as well as coming back from those relegations. But to see Oasis, and there's a great concert film of them during the second album when they play Main Road, and you just see all those Manx going completely mental, and Noel and Liam are so, and I get chills thinking about it, just so aware of that homecoming show where they were the gods of the world. They were the gods of the rock world.
Yeah.
And Main Road was a great ground.
All right, so we do have to crack on with
Well, one thing to say about Manchester City is they do have a pretty good connection here to Charlottesville. Arguably the best player ever to come out of the University of Virginia, Claudio Reyna, played for Manchester City for a good number of years. He even was the captain at some point. He's the kind of player that the city fans love. Do you remember him?
Claudio Reyna was a little before my time, only in that you couldn't watch the matches on any kind of regular basis. However, I am from New York. I was a season ticket holder for NYCFC and have met Mr. Reyna several times at club events. And he is a great ambassador for CFG and a great ambassador for NYCFC. I'm not much of an MLS fan now that I don't live within New York. But, and his history as a national player as well. I'm a club over country guy. I can talk club far better than I can country. I watch every USA match. But, you know, Claudio Reyna as an American player is one of the best that we've ever had.
Agreed.
All right. We do have to crack on with the games. Although we could talk about this for, until 7, about Oasis. I will say, even though I'm a United fan, guilty pleasure is Blue Moon Rising, the documentary.
Oh, and when Fox Soccer showed that back in 2010, I want to say, I've been hunting that DVD down ever since.
I'll get you a copy.
Oh, cheers.
All right, so game started on Friday. We had our first Friday. Was it our first Friday game?
No, the first week of the season had that Friday game.
You're
Leicester,
right.
Arsenal.
You're right. So it was Bournemouth versus Brighton. No real surprise here. Out of all the teams that have been promoted, I think Huddersfield are the real surprise. I think they're playing actually really well. We had talked about this last week about the predictions, and I think we got it spot on. I think at least one of us had said 2-1. Did anyone get to watch the game? Or
I watched the first half while in Italy, in Florence, on Friday.
Fancy.
Yeah, super cool guy. And I do love the ability to watch the Premier League when you're in Europe and you're watching it at nighttime. There is nothing. There is absolutely nothing like that. You are fully in the immersion of the event, even though I was an hour ahead of them. It's, you know, complete night. And you're watching that match. It's just so much different watching it here in the States in the daytime versus when you see those matches at night. But I have to say, that first half of football, it was tough to watch. And I'm not overly impressed by the recently promoted sides. But we're only 5 matches in. So
Brighton looked pretty rough so far. They did get another goal, which came through Gross, who had the 2 goals last week. He had another assist because he had 2 goals and assists last week, and he had a nice assist to Sean March to start things off. And then really, you know, it wasn't until about the 65th minute that the game really changed when Jordan Ibe came onto the field, and he made 2 great passes that ultimately changed the game. One was a nice back heel to Sermon, who tucked it away. And then the next was to Defoe. Finally, Defoe gets his first goal of the season for the match winner. It was really a dominant performance by Bournemouth. They had 63% of the
And what was that, like 5,000-some minutes in between his last goal and
something
this goal
like
for
that.
Bournemouth? I think it was like 5,300 minutes or something.
It's a long time.
So what does everyone think of Defoe's move?
I mean, he had an automatic clause in his contract last year where he could move if the team got relegated, and they did, so he moved to a team of his choice practically. I mean, I was kind of surprised they took him because they have Josh King, and Josh King was playing well at the top last year, and so you're kind of stunting the development of some of your younger players having a Defoe come up. But, I mean, hey, Defoe is, when he's on his day, I mean, he's as good as any of them.
Right.
And you know what? That's what you're trying to do in this league. You're just trying to stay up, get goals, get points, and move on.
With all due respect to him, he's obviously in this twilight of his career. Do you think that maybe just being one of those lower-level teams is the right fit for him? Rather than sort of going to, you know, like a top four? I mean, I don't think he would...
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, he'd go back to Tottenham at some point, right. I would say. But that's unlikely to happen. And I think he's in the right place. I mean, not necessarily Bournemouth is the right place, but just any team in the Premier League is the right place for him, and that's where he was last year, just any team, and you know, he's not going to play in the Championship, he's not Championship quality, and he's better than that, really, and so it's good that he's in the Premiership.
Okay, moving on to the next game, Crystal Palace versus Southampton.
Oof.
This, I mean, we've talked about this before, and I'm sure you've listened and heard it, like, Crystal Palace, just in a lot of trouble, and
Palace were the first side that I ever got to see at home, and they've always had a little bit of my heart. I'm not big on splitting your loyalty, but I'm empathetic towards Crystal Palace and seeing what's going on there right now. Over the past 2-3 years, it's really sad. They are fantastic supporters there. They deserve far better football than what's being given to them right now.
Right.
The leadership change, I feel for Palace supporters because they just simply deserve better.
Do you think though that is this the team itself, or is this the fact that they keep firing managers? There's no stability there?
No, zero stability. I don't think this is where ownership becomes the issue, and we can talk ownership. That's a whole other subject.
Oh, we have a phone call. I do have to interrupt. I wonder who this could be. Hello? You're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench. Who am I speaking to? Oh. Doesn't look like there's anyone on. Oh, well, there you go. Well, you live and you learn. All right, so you were saying that it was to do with like management. I mean, we live in an age now where you're in, you're out, you're in, you're, you know, you're... Yes. Where management, it seems to be like if you haven't made it within 6 months, you're out. And there's very few managers that get a little longer, like Mourinho or, you know, managers like that. Is this the downfall of Crystal Palace? Is it just that? Or I mean,
they haven't scored a goal. I mean, they're relegation fodder after 5 matches, and that's not an easy thing to watch for a club that should be of a better quality than Crystal Palace.
Yeah, and it's not getting any easier. I think their next 3 fixtures, they play both Manchester clubs and maybe even Liverpool in there.
Yeah, I know they play City next week.
Yeah, so. It's not getting any easier for them.
All right. Well, then moving on. West Brom versus West Ham. The two Wests. Nil-nil draw.
What a snoozer.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything we could talk about?
I mean, Gareth Barry, he is now, most starts ever in the EPL, something like that. He beat Ryan Giggs, or if you say beat in that situation. Carroll played his first game of the season. You know, there was almost an amazing goal in this. That was that didn't happen. It was Aubameyang almost caught Ben Foster off his line and took a shot practically from inside the center circle, and it just went off the crossbar. Foster may have had it covered in the end, but still, it was an audacious attempt and one that nearly went in. And you know, as a neutral, I would have liked to see that go in just because it would have been the kind of goal you would have seen from some of the greats.
Right.
So no one shot low right or low left on Joe Hart. Joe Hart was... Did he just stand? There were no chances on for him?
I mean, there West Brom didn't really have that many chances at all, even though it was at home. So, yeah, it was a pretty... I mean, in the end, like, the game almost got changed by... Chicharito got taken down by... Foster again with another mistake, and he got a yellow, but it could have easily been a red. He was late. It was semi high on his shin. It could have been last man. So it, you know, there are a few things that could have been red, but in the end, nothing came out of it. But yeah, I mean, West Ham had a good percentage of the ball for most of the game, but in the end, there's really no quality on either side in the end, and that's the difference in the game. So 1-1 draw, or 0-0 draw, but you know, 1 point each.
As supporters of other clubs here, what are your guys' thoughts on Joe Hart? Is he
redeemable,
or that's a whole different question? But now that he's not there, what do you see? I mean, in Torino last year, it was mixed at best, and his return, he is never coming back. He's never going to put the Man City shirt on ever again. It's just never going to happen as long as Guardiola's there. But him coming back to England, I think, is exciting. But at West Ham, is he viable? Is he going to be in England's net this summer?
I hope he's not.
Really?
I hope
so. You think that Pickford's going to take that role?
I was
going
to say Pickford.
Because
yeah.
I think, and I'm sure you have your role here to get to the United match, I don't know now that Pickford's very good, and maybe I'm jumping the gun on that a little bit, but I rated him highly coming into this season, but what I've seen out of him so far is...
Even that goal today by Valencia, that was a trigger.
A PlayStation goal.
I don't think any of them were really his fault, though.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, going back to, will Joe Hart ever play for City again? Probably not.
Right.
I mean, is he the number one for England? He is now, but he probably shouldn't be. I'm curious to actually hear your thoughts on him. Mm. I mean, probably watched him more than any of us.
I feel for Joe Hart personally. I can't imagine what it's like to be a hero for a club and have a manager who, with a reputation, come in like Guardiola, who it's well deserved. Regardless of what you think of the man, he's got a lot of gold behind him, a lot of trophies behind him, and he wanted a keeper that would play a certain style. He didn't see it with Hart, and allowed him
that sweeper keeper, someone that can play with his feet,
someone that can roll the ball out. And Hart, there's plenty of examples where he would make just poor passes. His distribution from net was bad, but I just don't. If I had it my way, he'd still be there. Now, Ederson is an excellent keeper, and I'm so excited for him. But I would have loved to have seen someone who's a great steward of the club continue with us.
But to jump back to your point about Pickford, like when Valencia pulled the trigger from so far out, and I'm thinking, I thought it was we'll get to that game, we'll get to it, but it just, to me, it looked like a pass, and it just kind of went into the net. And
No, that was a shot.
I thought it was a shot, too.
That was definitely a shot. He knew exactly what he was trying to do. I think Matic's cross in was not trying to get to Valencia. But anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Right.
Let's move on.
All right, so the next game, your boys, City versus Watford.
Oof. So I had been on the plane coming back from Europe and had the DVR set and was so excited. Our flight's delayed 2 hours. Finally get home at 9:30, put the kid to bed, and it's about 10:30 when I put it on, and it's, 4:30 in the morning to my body coming in from Europe, and I cannot believe the movement that you see out of City constantly. And it's, to me, this is the graduation of the system finally taking hold with these players who didn't necessarily understand what they were being asked to do last year. I thought John Stones put on a masterclass of defense the entire match. Him and Fernandinho had a great movement guarding the back line, so one could go forward and Fernandinho would drop back if Stones went forward or vice versa. But Aguero and Jesus and Gabriel Jesus, I mean, at this point, can we stop with the, can they play together? Aguero's clearly not going
in the league right now.
Right, and it's great to watch, but I think the best is yet to come. I, however, will temper all this by saying, for a number of years now, City get off to this great September and this great August, great September, great October, and then the wheels come off because somebody gets hurt. Results just don't go your way, the ball doesn't go in the net, whatever the case may be. So I am glad to see the results we're getting, but let's talk in November, let's talk in December. The best is hopefully yet to come, but these matches, you have to put Watford away. You have to beat Liverpool the way they beat them, but the real tests are coming.
Yeah, I hear you, but at the same time, the last three games, total score 15-0.
Well, and in those three games, who did they? You know, they beat a Liverpool side that
Liverpool.
Are highly overrated, as far as I'm concerned. And I know that's not a popular comment here in Charlottesville because of the LFC supporters. But I have to say, once Mane was sent off, and Mane is the engine of that team. I mean, they could do without Coutinho. I think
sold him for the money.
Absolutely, they should have. I think Salah and Sané are dynamic for that side. But once they had them down 10 men. 5-0. I mean, what difference does it make at that point? And Feyenoord, I don't really know the side, so I can't say much. I know they hadn't lost in quite a while, so it's a good result. But again, you look at City's history over the past few seasons, and they get off to these fantastic starts, and then it doesn't follow through. So now the pressure's on. Last year was a pass. This year, now you have to start winning trophies.
You gotta step it up.
Yep.
All right, guys, the time is now 20 past the hour. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back. Sorry to cut you guys off. So, anything more about the City game that you want to mention?
Like Aguero hat trick. We've got to talk about that last goal for Aguero. That was quite a run. In the end, he went past four defenders or four Watford players. I mean, that was probably the best goal of the game. And it was definitely up there with the Valencia goal for goal of the weekend.
I mean, how many fantasy points did Aguero get managers if you captain him?
Yeah, he would have, yeah.
36.
I picked up Sané late on Friday night. Unfortunately, it didn't pan out.
Picked up the wrong City player.
That is going to be an interesting dynamic with Sané. I have him on my side, too. Leroy Sané, that just not sure where the development is, and Pep's never going to be really clear about that because it's just we have so much talent.
The class
in
the midfield. Is there, though.
Oh, without
a
doubt.
Sané was playing so well, and he had a couple of great goals at the end of the last game, but the question is, again, like, where is he going to play?
Well, I agree with you, but since we're talking about it, did you get the sense of there being some offsides in some of those goals? Because I know there were
the
critics.
The first Jesus goal was definitely offsides.
Okay. And I think that goes both, you get it sometimes, and it goes against you sometimes, and I think it averages out, and right now it's easy to say that because we won 6-0. But I get it. It's tough. I do watch a lot of Bundesliga and the VAB there. I'm not sure yet if that works with onside or offside. But I was.
It should.
But I just hate video replay personally. So that's
I think that there's so many big calls in games, and maybe not in a game like this where the end result is 6-0. It would have been 5-0 if not. But I mean, if it's World Cup final, offsides goal, you just can't allow that to happen with the technology that's out there today. So anyway, let's move on.
All right. So the next game is Newcastle versus Stoke.
What a rebound by Newcastle.
Right.
I was hating on them early in the season, but they've come back and won, what, 3 in a row now? And so, good on
with their manager and some of the signings, they should be. You know, they should be doing okay, I think.
Were Newcastle the biggest club that you can think of to be relegated in the last?
Aston Villa.
You think Villa's bigger?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the area I lived in England, obviously, that depends on where you live. So if I'm surrounded by Villa fans, that's all
but
I
Villa
see.
Villa almost went down to like the third division at some point. I mean, like Villa have been playing really, really poorly. Anyway,
of course,
don't need to talk Villa here, but
I think you guys were talking a bit about Newcastle last week, and Mike Ashley again getting back to the ownership. I mean, sell the club, man. I mean, give the supporters the ownership they deserve. Those Newcastle supporters, and I've met a few of them over the years, they're fantastic. That's a huge building. They've got to sell that out. They have to be a European side at some point. I just don't get where the ambition is with that side. Great that they're back, but with, like you said, the manager that they have and the talent they have, they should not have gone down in the first place. Again,
that the talent they have, I mean, look at their squad, though. Who on their squad is someone that really intimidates you?
Nobody right now, but when they went down and they built the side back up to come, and you knew they were going to bounce back. There wasn't really any question about that, where you saw a side like Aston Villa go down, and you're like, yeah, we're not going to see them again for a while.
Well, Benitez was apparently upset with the lack of and quality of transfers that they got.
That's
coming
totally
into
true.
The season. That's been publicized here recently.
Yeah,
so,
as he should be. I mean, again, a club that size, this is where ownership makes or breaks you. Spend the money.
Hey, Yedlin got in for all those USA supporters
there
out there. Yedlin has been bounced around the league a little bit in the U.S. So good to see him play. He actually played pretty well, I thought. He was in there on a couple chances. But the winner goes to Lascelles again for the second straight week. That guy, he's the captain. He actually just got a new contract during the week. And a corner off of Richie, who had both assists for the Newcastle goals, ended up knocking it in like high off the post, almost identical to the Swansea goal last week, the goal against Swansea last week. And so good on Lascelles for, you know, really earning his new contract and getting Newcastle in it. You know, another win where it could have been two draws in a row. Now it's two wins. Those are big 6 points for a team like Newcastle.
All right, next game, Liverpool versus Burnley. And I think this goes to that point of like how the Arsenal game could have been maybe a bit flattering.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we'll get up. You know, we'll get to your side.
They always show up to play us.
Yeah. I mean, terrible. Like, I mean, what are your thoughts on Liverpool?
First of all, they gifted the first goal, right? Did you guys see that? I was somewhat questioning why they had that one dude, Alexander Arnold, in at right back for Liverpool. I think he ended up redeeming himself later in the game, but he didn't get like a long cross, like not long, like basically ball up field, and then from there it kind of bounced in. Like Brady won that header, and then it went to Matip right there. But Chris Wood, who's been playing well as well, he kind of shielded the ball away, and it went right to Arfield, who just tucks it away. And the first goal was a straight gift. I mean, there was no attacking effort, you know, before then. And then Salah came right back and scored just moments later. And then after that, I mean, you know, you could argue that Burnley had the best chance after that. Ben Mee almost had a goal off a corner, which was cleared away again by Matip. So, you know, I thought that it was Liverpool. I mean, how do you not win at home against the Burnley?
Well, this
of the
is
world?
Exactly what happened to them last season, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. This is exactly what happened last year. It happened.
I mean, this seems like deja vu. Like last year, we sung Burnley's praises. You know, Greggy was big on them. You know, they're not going to be an easy team to beat.
Well, usually they're a really tough team at home. So
right.
Like on the road. But really, I think this is more about Liverpool than it is about Burnley.
Right.
And
yeah.
So Liverpool just can't come to play against the little guys. And you know what? This year they haven't even come to play against the big guys either. So
except you know. they picked Arsenal to do that. So thanks, Liverpool.
Well, is Arsenal still a big guy? I don't know. We'll talk about that later.
Ah. All right. So what about the next game? Huddersfield versus Leicester. We saw a 1-1 draw there.
Hey, Huddersfield are the team
That's
I said
sad.
That I've been playing the best of all the teams that have recently been promoted. Leicester, I think, have been playing well this year. They haven't got all the results go their way, and it's another one that, you know, for Leicester, you know, you wish someone else could have happened. I mean, Vardy could have easily tapped in the winner at the end there. But it all started with a nice goal by I don't even know how to say his name, but anyway. some dude on their team. He had a nice kind of, there was a ball in that came, it was like a pass, and he kind of shielded off Maguire for Leicester, that new signing of theirs. And, you know, in the end, he just tucked it to the corner, and I thought Schmeichel should have had it. So that was disappointing if you're a Leicester fan. Moments later, you know, Vardy scores on a PK. This will be interesting because it's the first time I think I've seen a penalty where it's really questionable whether there actually was contact. Chris Lowe went in and slid in on King, and I don't think he actually made contact. And King went down. It looked like he just put his foot and just went down. And so this could be one that's a suspension with the new rules that are out there. You know, we'll see what happens because Vardy ended up getting the penalty, of course, and then that tied up the game, but Leicester had plenty of chances late, and Vardy really should have scored the winner late with a cross from Mahrez that just went right past him. It was a sitter. I mean, he should have had it.
I'm loving this. I'm loving you talk about this. I'm curious if I can digress a little bit here. How do you consume football? How are you watching? And you're obviously not only are you able to talk about it. Not only are you able to watch it, but you're able to talk about it. So how are you recording the matches and watching them afterward?
Yeah, I bought Gold, the Gold thing.
Right.
So I have two TVs downstairs, and so I'm usually watching two games at a time.
All right, so
and
matches watch, on Saturday at your house then?
Yeah, sure. Alex has his own sports bar, basically.
Oh, cool. I have a 140-inch projector.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's pretty awesome. We saw the Super Bowl there, mm-hmm. and yeah.
Going to tell my wife now, sorry, I love you, but I'll see
it's
some
over.
Other time. Yeah. Bye. I always find it interesting to talk to people who can talk the games and then how they consume that information because there's so much now, and we're so lucky as Americans to get the sport as much as we do, even if we have to pay the $50 a year for this NBC package. I could care less because in Europe, the home of all this, you can't get it.
Yeah, because match of the day on the rights to
right.
the game. So what happens is back home, I believe the morning games are... There's no morning games, but the early games.
The lunchtime match.
Right. Some of them are available, but Match of the Day is an institution. It's on the BBC.
Sky gets some.
They basically said they don't want anything shown until they get pretty much the majority of the games. So basically, a lot of people back home, they don't get to see anything until the highlight reel
at 10 o'clock at night.
Part of that is to encourage fans to go see their local clubs.
Do you think it would matter? And this is something I find very interesting because there's so much talk, and I don't know if there'll be time to talk about what happened at Arsenal this week with the Europa match, the Europa League match, and that if you people will come that are passionate about the game, regardless of it being on TV or not. And I think as Americans, we kind of fail to understand this as well, in that the live event is more important than you being able to watch it on TV. I think if all the matches were on TV there, regardless, supporters would show up. What you need to do is, and this is getting off on a whole different tangent, is tickets should be capped at, you know, 20, 25, 30 pounds. That's it. supporters will show up. They don't need old guys eating their artisan sandwiches watching these matches. They need lads in the front row cheering and screaming and yelling their faces off because they're passionate about the sport. It's not some corporate, and again, as a city supporter, we're owned by a nation, essentially. And I know that this we're just being
big
consumers.
Oil.
Big oil. We're just being consumers. And the way the club has changed over the last 20 years is and all these clubs have changed so much. But at some point, I feel like I don't want to be a consumer. I want that passion that the Cologne supporters had, where they all show up and they're buying Arsenal scarves and shirts.
Yeah, but the Cologne thing was a little different. They hadn't been in Europe for
absolutely
decades.
I completely
and
agree.
Then
but
when
German
they finally did. People actually bought a lot of the. I was reading.
About oh, we made stuff, back in kit sales what we got fined by UEFA.
But they were
that, so seriously.
The Cologne fans, the way that the tickets were set up is that they all bought tickets to get over to London before the tickets to actually for the game had been like divvied up, and on top of that, Arsenal laid out the welcome mat with £23 tickets, which if you're a supporter of Arsenal, you know that they have the highest
right.
ticket prices in. I think it's the world now in terms of soccer. So it's like you invite the opposing fans to come in and pay half the price of what your mm-hmm. team is paying, or and it's just, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me.
I've been to the Emirates for a Champions League match against Borussia Dortmund back in 2014.
Oh, nice.
And it's a huge building. I mean, if anybody's been, it's just massive. It's like an alien spaceship landed in the middle of
yeah,
London.
Yeah, I've played it.
It's crazy. But I was so impressed by the supporters that were there for Dortmund that they were just mental the entire time. And I, at the same trip, went to go see City play Bayern Munich. And the Munich supporters, the German supporters just bring it. And that's something that when I first started getting into English football, the English supporters, the singing and the chanting and the jumping, it was so constant. And we're losing that because of the money. And that's where I say, like, just put it all on TV, knock the prices down to nothing, and I'll get off my soapbox.
It's all the tourist fans' fault, right, Alex?
Tourist
well,
fans.
Well, you know, that is really the heart of it, is that they've raised ticket prices so much that the average working man in Europe, or really in England, struggles at times to buy it. So you get the banker that's in there that maybe not as loud and not quite as maybe drunken as some of the other fans, but mm-hmm. at the same time, you know, the hooligans, which was a big thing in English history, you don't really have that anymore. And so you have these corporate seats that are getting divvied up,
right.
and maybe people don't show to the game. And, you know, in a way, England is ground zero for corporate everything
Absolutely.
When it comes to the game, and it's not necessarily a positive. So, I mean, you get the big signings because of it. You get the cities and the, you know, everyone's of the world buying players for world record fees and, you know, or, you know, for one reason or another and or one position or another, but, you know, it may not actually be for the best of the sport.
I completely agree.
So you bought the gold package, and we spoke briefly about it, but now that you've had it for a few, do you own the gold package?
I have held out to wait till City
yes.
Play, which is
yeah.
this but they may not, NBC may still keep them on the main channel. I thought they would this week, and they didn't. They showed them on one of the non-gold.
I mean, I think there are positives about that, in the fact that the last few years it seems to be the big clubs, the clubs that are doing well, they'll show those games. So if United weren't doing well that season, were dropping, and were playing Watford, well, they wouldn't show that game. You would have to try to look for it online. Whereas now it's kind of equal. Yes, they show the big games on TV, but every club is going to be playing on
this.
Well,
this is the first week that Newcastle haven't been on national television in the U.S., and so it makes, you know, it's not all big clubs. They do show things based
right.
on time, which
right.
are preset, you know, way in advance.
So what do you think of it now that you've had it for a few weeks?
I mean, I still think that I'd rather not pay for it. But, you know, at the same time, I mean,
is there anything added to it, or is it just the games? Is
nothing,
it shows?
It's the exact same package that you got from NBC Sports app last year.
So there's no programming offered during the week or
right.
anything you can tune in, highlight packages?
I mean, maybe, yeah, so that's one thing. I do watch all the highlights through the NBC app,
mm-hmm.
but you can watch it through the NBC app or the Gold app. It doesn't have to be, you know, one or the other.
I think it's such a missed opportunity by NBC. Hello, NBC, that sports, that you could be putting on so much other content that's
available.
Web
extras, you know?
Anything. I mean, as all of us know, we probably watched those overflow matches on other channels, and you'd see those things at halftime where they'd have a little bit of history of goals, famous goals, big clubs, what their history and all that, and we're not get ESPN used to do a great job with showing history of the clubs
ESPN
back in
30 and 30
and,
yeah. But just when they would show matches with Ian Dark and McManaman and they'd have a reporter at the grounds who would walk the grounds and go to like the statues in front and then go get a pie and talk about the cuisine and really educating the American fan who, you know, this is still new to us. I mean, frankly, regardless of who you support, it's still new to us.
I do think NBC Sports has done a pretty good job with some, you know, when they followed Watford last year. And, you know, they've definitely, I mean, ESPN is the tops when it comes to sports coverage. And, you know, I'm a big 30 for 30 fan.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I'm not sure if it's on par with what the ESPN coverage was back in the day, but NBC's definitely doing a lot better than Fox did when they.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that is just,
well,
yeah,
I mean, most
absolutely.
Importantly, you can see all the.
But games. It just shows how long we, you know, how far coverage in this country for the sport we love is.
And that's the thing.
So
I said this when I bought it. I'm willing to pay $50, which guarantees that I can watch every game
well,
for Tottenham.
Doesn't guarantee you can watch. Okay, I get your point.
In combination with having
right.
the
right.
you know the NBCSN or whatever mm-hmm. NB whatever it is,
and having access to NBC, which if you've cut your cable, which I have, you're dependent on your antenna. So here in Charlottesville, when Channel 29
yeah,
decides they're going to stick
UVA.
With not even UVA and just,
NC State,
yeah,
firm
just
or
some,
something like that this week.
I've tweeted
it goes
at
to
them.
ACC, like
yeah, I've tweeted at them and I get it. This is American football country, the South. I just feel like the opportunity to show the beautiful game is a money maker for this anything that you can possibly put on TV. And I get that you want to broadcast UVA. I have no problem with that. But do I need
it
to
wasn't
see...
And UVA was on ESPN, too.
Right. Do I need to see NC State versus...
I would be very curious to see what those ratings were. Because it's NC State playing against a D2 for you know, whatever the new name of D2 is.
But I think here in Charlottesville, and I hate to say this, because I lived in the South and know what college football country is like, they'll watch anything. It doesn't... I used to live near Miami,
it's
so...
There's 900 other channels.
And
people aren't watching NC State firm.
Times have changed.
We can get back to this, but the time is now 6:40. We'll be back after these short messages. All right, guys, we're back. So let's get right. Well, your boys, Spurs.
Yeah, time to talk Spurs.
Wow. Time to talk Spurs against Swansea. Swansea like.
So this was another game at Wembley, which, if you've been following Spurs this year, has been a tough place to play. That said, we thought we put those demons to
this
rest
year?
On Wednesday. Or, yeah.
Just this year?
This year, last year, previous years, et cetera, et cetera.
Pretty much the all of time.
They've won a cup there. They beat...
One, that's pretty.
We're going to Wembley.
I mean, this was a game that was straight dominated by Tottenham. 75% of the possession. They had countless chances. You know, I could not, you know, go after them one by one. But, you know, really, this was a situation where we had 26 shots or something like that. It reminded me a lot of United last year where they just couldn't get the ball in the back of the net. Total domination, but in the end...
Yeah.
Everyone sees 0-0, and that's all you take out of the game. But we hit the post, we hit the crossbar. We had countless other chances. They never had a shot on target. I mean, really, we should have had the points. We just didn't put the ball in the back of the net.
Are you excited about the future of Spurs this year?
This year, playing at Wembley, it seems like they have issues. If we're top four this year, I'm happy. I think that we're going to make a pretty strong title run next year in the new stadium.
I think this year for Spurs is kind of the year of let's just get through this. Let's just get through this year.
They're definitely in a transition phase with White Hart Lane being
taken down.
But who's
to say they can hold on to the talent that they have going into the next year? I mean, even if the building is profitable going in and all that, Are you going to be able to hold on to Dele Alli? I mean, Harry Kane, if the bigger clubs come, not bigger clubs, Spurs are a big club. I don't mean in a derogatory sense. But can you hold on to that?
Everybody was signed through 2020 plus.
Right, and Neymar was signed, and all these.
But none of them really have major. None of them have buyout clauses.
Okay.
The only person that does is Ander Vereld, and he's been in the news of late because he hasn't signed a new contract.
Oh, he'll look so good in the City shirt next year.
Yeah, and well, that's the thing is, apparently,
Ryan McLemore?
if Spurs extend his contract to 2019, then he has like a really, really cheap buyout clause of $25 million. And so he's the one that would be most likely to go. And, you know, that would hurt for sure. I mean, he's worth way more than that. And I had no problem with us losing Kyle Walker.
Oh.
But, yeah, why should you?
No, why should you?
You're welcome.
At that price?
Yeah,
why should you?
World record,
but
not worth it.
However, he's the perfect player for the position we needed, and so it's win-win to me. You know, it's win because you guys make a huge profit.
If you want to take your money and put it into City Bingo.
No,
I was happy when you guys took him for a world record fee for a defender. It didn't matter if it was City or PSG or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree.
I didn't even think. I mean, he's good. He's the England number one. But he's not $50 million.
A year ago, you would have said he was one of the best right backs in the world.
I still think he's one of the best right backs in the world.
That's
I just
fair.
Don't think he's worth $50 million.
Well, who is?
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down to it's just funny money.
I think you've got to be in the playing attack, scoring goals to be worth that much money.
Agreed. And
what you paid for your goalie as well, I thought was outrageous. I thought there were a few signings you guys made.
23 million, Ederson. Like I mean, the future's bright. Let's just. I mean,
yeah,
you talk about
$35 million for him, and you bought like Danilo from.
Well, I'm just.
We don't need to get into all this.
I'm curious though. When you talk about money, in what sense does it matter?
Well, it matters if you cannot do the financial fair play. City can and have, but I think you can see from the PSGs of the world that, you know, Barcelona and others are saying, you know what, maybe some of that money isn't necessarily coming in the most... Basically, what just to kind of go into the details so the viewers know, but City and others have gotten around this whole situation by having the shirt sponsors, and a lot of the other sponsors come from essentially the same country or potentially even the same owners as the owner of the club. And so as they spend money... There's also, which you then have to balance out. There are sponsorships that are happening that are way above market value, that are happening to balance the books, and you know, we'll see how long that can last.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just curious as to someone like a Spurs supporter, why ownership should be an issue of someone coming in wanting to invest in a side, because financial fair play was put in play by Bayern Munich, Barcelona, and Manchester United. These are the biggest clubs in the world who want to keep the money to themselves, keep the game to themselves. So, like any business owner, I want to invest and put my club up in the top echelon. You've got these three to four clubs with Real Madrid as well saying, no, you're not coming to our table. They're the pigs at the trough, and they'll keep everybody out. So imagine if your ownership, and this isn't anything personal, I don't think Gareth Bale should have left Spurs. He should still be wearing that white shirt. And the fact is, he was bought by one of these clubs that make it so that nobody else can invest money and get into that table. And I don't think that's fair in any sense, especially when you're talking about the way Europe works, where players can come and go as they want, the clubs can do what they want. Let people do what they want. And if these clubs fail and bail, and the city ownership goes away, well, then the club goes away. It's never going to happen, but, you know, we thought the same thing with Leeds. We thought the same, not with Leeds.
Rangers.
Rangers, right.
Yeah.
Where ownership just totally fumbled the ball and everything fell apart. But it's competition, and that should
totally be fine if someone is willing to spend their personal wealth, Roman Abramovich, on essentially a toy. But really what is strange, particularly with City, is that this is the sovereign wealth fund of Qatar, which is made to...
Roman Abramovich is...
He's a Russian oligarch.
An oligarch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not
it's
defending
on par.
Him.
It's on par. It's not even a matter of defense. I just think that it's... Let these owners do as they please, play their game. I mean, you're essentially talking about the cartels in Colombia back in the day, where these cocaine cartels would buy their clubs and have their teams play out on a field in front of their houses so they could play each other. I mean, we're in essence talking about that. Does it matter? I mean, as a supporter to the side, don't you want to see the best product you can possibly see?
I mean, Tottenham are owned by a private equity company, and so inevitably they will be sold. I think they'll be sold once the stadium is built, so I expect a sale in the next 18 months or so. It's going to mean a new owner will come in, and it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
And a London club's always going to be worth more than a Manchester club. I mean, aside from United. United's the biggest club in the world, basically. And then everybody else is just falling in line behind them. But anybody in London is going to be worth more than...
I don't know about that. You think Crystal Palace has a chance to be worth more than
London?
We need to move on to the last games here. We could talk about this all day. London, obviously, the London derby, Arsenal versus Chelsea. I'm going to let it pass them over to...
It's up bright and early Mark this there. Morning, blokes.
Good bright and early.
You could have come back to bed.
It was a fairly uneventful game. Although I did have a couple Chelsea fans text me or post me on Facebook that they thought we were the better team in the first half, which I would agree with.
Hit the post.
Yeah. Ramsey almost got one. I thought we looked good. I was happy as a fan that we didn't go there with our tails between our legs. We seemed to go after it. I thought we looked more likely to score most of the game. And, you know, it would have been great to nick 3 points off of them, go back to North London. But at the end of the day, way worse things could have happened in this game, especially with recent form and having played good comeback in Europa League on Thursday. This is kind of a short turnaround for us. So, 1 3 points, 1 0 points.
Yeah, I mean, it was Move a good on. Result for Arsenal. Chelsea.
We haven't won there in the last 5 games, so.
Bad result for Chelsea then?
Probably a fair result for the way they played. I think that. Well, it was really surprising that what was it, Pedro had that one chance one-on-one with the keeper. He really should have put that away. But you could say the same thing for the Ramsey goal as well, that you know, he should have put that one away as well. Lacazette blasted the rebound over the post. I mean, what I thought was interesting was that, again, Wenger didn't play Lacazette and Sanchez together.
Oof.
I mean, I don't know what to take out of this. Like, I know that Sanchez is still trying to get his feet under him and really get it to fitness, but he hasn't done it yet. I haven't seen them play together on the same field and be successful. And how are you going to do that then, you know, against, you know, in any game?
So do you think Sanchez wants to be there anymore?
No.
Right.
I mean, I would say, judging by his reactions to our not made goals today, would show that he was kind of chuckling it up a bit.
Sanchez, so, I thought,
him and old Ospina.
Was his typical self. He was fighting to the last minute. He was the one that I think forced Luis into that really horrible challenge against the Arsenal left back. I mean, he was kind of just behind him, and if you saw what happened, Luis got a red card on a really horrible tackle where he kind of went over the ball and right into Kaselniak, or however you say his name.
And my fantasy team felt that.
Yeah. I mean, that one, he could have easily, like, broken his leg on that. He went over the ball. Basically, he was trying to defend Sanchez away, so he kind of gives him a little hip. And as he does that, he moves away from the ball, which opened it up to the Arsenal player. And then he realizes that he's going to lose the ball, and he just goes in two-footed, not even two-footed, but one-footed, just way over the ball. Horrible tackle.
Way high, yeah.
And, I mean, it was a straight red. We should be banned 3 games because of that. I don't see an appeal going against that. And just a really bad decision by Luis, which we've seen him do again and again in his career.
Mm-hmm. Always worth the gamble with Luis, though. I mean, he is so good on the ball and can do what he does. But that's the risk you take with a player like that, right? I mean, he's a big part of why Chelsea's successful.
So what's going to happen the next few games then? I mean, next
he'll
up...
He'll be suspended indefinitely for 3 matches.
So there's the League Cup game. He'll be out for that. Then they have Stoke and then Man City. So he should be out for the City game.
Oh, I'll take that. Thank you.
Let's go back to Arsenal. just because I want to pick a mark. No. So do you think Sanchez hangs around until January and then they make an inflated sale on him just because it makes better business sense, or is he going to be there until
and then
the
lose
end
him
of the season?
For nothing because his contract is
I also want to ask Christian, what do you think of Ozil? Because there's a love-hate of, like, people either hate him or love him. And I just wanted to know your opinion on Ozil because apart from Mark, I think most people don't like him. I'm kidding.
I'm not the biggest fan, but on his day, he's a great offensive player. I actually told some of my fellow Gunners today that he wasn't in the lineup, wasn't on the team sheet, and honestly, it's the kind of game where, like, maybe he shouldn't have played.
Right.
It was maybe a blessing in disguise that, you know, we had 10 outfield players on the pitch actually fighting for the ball. You know, had he been in there, maybe they would have got us on a counter. But
I mean, what does that say about Wenger's confidence in him? He doesn't even have him on the team sheet. I mean, that's...
Well, apparently he hurt his back in training.
I rate Ozil very high. Any German player, I mean, they're just machines. I think all the high-rated players at Arsenal are so disenfranchised with what's going on there. It's so over time to move on. Wenger is a genius, and there'll be a statue out in front of the building, but move on, man. I mean, it's not 2004 anymore. It is time to move on. Arsenal are too big of a club to take glory in winning an FA Cup. Yeah, once every once in a while, that's great, because that's what you do. But 3 and 4 years, I mean, I know Arsenal supporters personally who are like, well, we won FA Cups, and I'm like, you're Arsenal. Look in a mirror and be the side you're supposed to be. And a guy like Sanchez, frankly, they messed up big time tying him in the Europa League, because now City are going to look at that and go, well, we can't play him come February in Champions League, so you know what? Let's just pass on that $70 million that we would have given you back in September, or now we would have given you in January, and Arsenal don't need money. You're just tied to bad. Again, we get back to ownership. Kroenke's not...
He's terrible.
A good... You said it best.
He's the Rams owner, so he moved them from St. Louis to
and now
LA.
He's building a stadium. So now we're going through a stadium thing again, even though it's not even a stadium that our team is playing in. Fact.
Rough life for Arsenal fans these days.
Yeah, yeah, you're gonna feel it too, buddy.
And hey, listen,
that new Wahlburgers
Ryan said it. Arsenal on their day are unstoppable.
It's Arsenal. We
forget that sometimes.
And that's what's sad, especially to new viewers who are coming in, and that's what, like, United went through recently, and that probably is a good way to get into the United match, and that people who are recent converts to the sport are like, yeah, Manchester United, biggest club in the world, let's watch them on TV. And they're just... they're in seventh place, they're playing in Europa League, and credit to them for winning that league, and that's great. But the side deserve better results. That's what you're there to do. You're there to win, and it's for the glory of the club. And right. United's back on the right track.
Let's talk about it.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Segway.
I'm not a rookie. Come on.
I'm obviously the United fan. So I was worried when...
Are you? You're wearing a...
Well, I'm wearing a Celtic shirt. I'm a Celtic fan, too. That's your Celtic. I'm from Ireland. Politics.
Are
steeped in all that stuff.
Yeah. Is that a Scott Sinclair shirt?
Yeah.
He's a great City player for 2 days.
So I've completely lost my train of thought. So, yeah, the Stoke game, I knew that was going to be a difficult game to play, right? But it's always that, because Stoke are always the team.
Last week,
right?
You're referring to.
Yeah, and I've always.
Everton.
Yeah, and I always say when we play Stoke, this could be tough, especially on Stoke's ground.
Now you're at home against Everton.
Right, so I'm thinking,
Wayne Rooney.
Right.
Right?
And the last thing I wanted to see was, you know, Rooney. I mean, I like the fact that Rooney's moved to his club that he grew up. It was his childhood club. I'm hoping that there was talk of, obviously, Rooney bad-mouthing United players, but I'm hoping all in all that, you know, it's settled and he's back home where he should belong. But, I was very relieved when that first goal went in.
Which was pretty early in the game.
And again, these 4-0s were, like, you know, sometimes teams can play really well and then they hit the bump, and it's usually a club that there's a draw or they lose, and then when they come back they've lost the momentum. And I guess that we're not even going to get the Champions League results, but when we beat the team in the midweek game. I'm losing my words here. I had every confidence going and got confidence going into the Everton game that we were going to pull a result out of it.
If you've seen how Everton have played, they've won. Lost three in a row coming into this game, and before that, I mean, they had drew a bunch of games earlier. I mean, Everton have played absolutely horribly since looking halfway decent at the beginning of the season. They lost 3-0 to Atalanta. I mean, they looked horrible against Tottenham last week. They lost to Chelsea the week before that, didn't even show up. And now they're playing United, arguably looking as good as anybody out there, and they didn't show up again.
Can we agree that Ronald Koeman is an overrated manager, over his head, and not worthy? I guess Everton are just a mid-table club. So
I think he's worthy of Everton.
I just don't see it. It's boring football. I just don't see it. They can't hang on to any talent that they have. That today's result was so predictable and boring. I turned it off to watch the Dortmund match at
11:50. I was really surprised at how much Lukaku celebrated after scoring the
third
goal.
But he's not
an
Everton player. He's not. He was a Chelsea player. He was a West Brom player. I mean, he is the ultimate free agent.
On this one. He has
many previous allegiances, and I'm not saying he grew up like an Everton supporter or anything like that. At the same time, you normally see a more kind of held back response to a goal. If you saw what happened, he absolutely took one of the worst free kicks I've seen this year, right into the wall. I mean, he was lucky that
he missed a sitter today too. He missed an absolute. He had a great move on the keeper, beautiful. And you're like, yeah, he's going to tap it in, and he sent it way
couldn't get
way
it done.
Wide. Yeah, is he the perfect nine for how Mourinho wants to play football?
Yeah,
I think it's beautiful to watch.
He was the right buy. Yeah. He was the right buy.
Not Morata. I think they made absolutely the right buy.
I still think Morata's going
to rate him. I rate him very high, but I think Lukaku in the system that Mourinho and Man United want to play.
So,
go ahead.
Well, then why was it that it seemed, at least based on media reports, that they wanted Morata over Lukaku?
Because all United do, they want everybody, right? They just want everybody, and then the supporters say, well, we didn't want them when
they
didn't.
And they're like holding a number 7 jersey for Griezmann?
All right, guys, we have to stop it there. We haven't got to any of the results or anything, but we've had a good show, I think.
Tottenham beat Dortmund. Woo! Woo!
Yeah,
that was our first win.
All right, guys. All right, so we will be back next Sunday from me.
Alex.
Mark.
Christian.
Have a great week, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.